This is an update in my continuing coverage of TRAPPIST-1, a star system that contains at least 7 Earth-sized, probably rocky planets. For the backstory, see my other videos on the subject, links in the description below. A new paper by researchers led by Cornell University planetary scientists Dr. Ramses Ramirez and Lisa Kaltenegger could significantly alter the equation of TRAPPIST-1's zone of habitability and extend it significantly further out than what is currently thought. This opens up the possibility that yet another planet in that system, known as TRAPPIST-1H, the most distant planet known in the system thus far, could hold the conditions necessary for liquid water and potentially life. The key factor here is hydrogen. If hydrogen is present in a planet's atmosphere, then the zone of habitability of that star system expands. This is because hydrogen is an indirect greenhouse gas, meaning that any planet with greenhouse gases present, such as methane, will be warmer in general for a longer period of time if hydrogen is also present, because the chemistry of hydrogen helps keep those gases around for a longer period of time. But hydrogen is also very difficult to hold on to. It's as light as gases get and typically leaks out into space instead of hanging around in the atmospheres of smaller rocky planets. But what can change that are volcanoes. If a planet like TRAPPIST-1H has hydrogen-spewing volcanoes producing the gas faster than the planet loses it, then temperatures friendly to liquid water become possible. And, in fact, when you take the possibility of hydrogen and apply it to habitability zones of stars in general, the researchers found that it can increase the size of a star's habitability zone by up to 60%. This effect is interesting because it seems to favor all manner of rocky planets. A small planet, say one the size of Mars, would tend to have a hydrogen-rich mantle. That would give volcanoes on planets like that a rich supply of hydrogen and hydrogen-rich molecules. But larger planets like super-Earths would generally have hydrogen-poor mantles. However, larger worlds like that would likely have stronger magnetic fields, which helps hold on to the hydrogen, along with stronger gravity. Other factors would affect a hydrogen-rich habitable zone, such as the presence of plate tectonics on a world, the presence of a moon, etc. And ultimately, the effect would not be long-term in geologic timescales. Earth is thought to have once had lots of atmospheric hydrogen gas, but now only has trace amounts, and our volcanoes are no longer able to replenish it. But that's where TRAPPIST-1 comes in. Earth is old, about 4.5 billion years, but TRAPPIST-1 is a young system, but it's at least 500 million years old. The question is that enough time for life to arise on a planet? It turns out, maybe so. A recent discovery of fossils near the eastern shores of Hudson Bay in Canada, near what was once a hydrothermal vent, has seemingly pushed back the clock for the genesis of life on Earth. Previous estimates of when life arose here tended to be around 3 to 3.5 billion years ago, but these fossils, which are purported to be the microscopic remains of primitive microbes, seem to be quite a bit older, coming in at between 3.77 billion years and a whopping 4.28 billion years old. This fossil find is still rather contentious. Extremely old rocks on Earth are rare given that our planet is very active geologically and likes to renew its surface. But the rock samples are chemically consistent with the presence of life, and they seem to be extremely old. And it's not the only recent discovery of this type. Recent work on apparent conical fossil structures from Greenland suggests that the structures are consistent with a product of microbial life called a stromatolite. The age of these structures was estimated to be about 3.77 billion years. What's particularly interesting about these two finds is that if confirmed, they would mean that not only is life on Earth older than we thought, but it was also more diverse than we might have expected. The reason for this is that the structures in the Greenland rocks would be a product of a photosynthetic bacteria, or one that gets its energy from the sun. But the rocks from Canada would be produced by a bacteria that was chemosynthetic, or one that gets its energy from chemical reactions. Only more study will clear up if these fossils really are that old, but if it pans out, these discoveries have two implications. First, that puts the advent of life on Earth within Mars's warm and wet period. Could a meteorite from Mars have delivered life to Earth? It's possible. But also, we could find that Mars too had all sorts of microbial life during this period. But the second implication is that if life on Earth is that ancient, potentially arising just a few hundred million years after the Earth formed, then it suggests that microbial life on suitable worlds can come along pretty quickly and can do it under some really rough conditions. Earth was not a nice place during this period. It was subject to the late heavy bombardment between 3.8 and 4 billion years ago. There were comets and asteroids routinely smacking into the Earth all the time in those days, and if life arose then, it would mean that life is just ridiculously tenacious. But then again, it seems like everywhere we look on Earth, under the harshest of conditions where life is only theoretically possible, we still seem to find microbes. If that's the case for most habitable worlds, then the planets of TRAPPIST-1 could theoretically already be abodes for microbial life. That life can arise that quickly also has implications on the universe at large. It would mean that the organic chemistry that leads to life is relatively straightforward and easy to get going. If so, the universe could be teeming with microbes. Even our own solar system could be, with Venus, Mars, Europa, Enceladus, Titan, and Pluto all having at least the theoretical potential for microbial action, and on moons like Europa, maybe more. But could we tell from afar if that's the case? For worlds with liquid water oceans under a shell of ice like Europa, that's not so easy. But for faraway worlds like the TRAPPIST-1 planets, it can actually be a bit easier, and oddly enough, hydrogen helps here too. Hydrogen-rich atmospheres tend to extend a bit further out than an atmosphere like our current one. That makes them easier to see and study with instruments like the coming and much-anticipated James Webb Space Telescope. If we start seeing odd gases, such as lots of oxygen or methane levels that aren't consistent with geologic processes, then we move into the territory of life. Thanks for listening. I am futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently under attack by microbes as I think I'm catching a cold, and be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channel for regular, in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.